Do you have a favourite holiday photo? Maybe it's got blue skies, it might be on a beach, or perhaps it's one where your family's posed against a snowy mountain backdrop looking like you're in a catalogue for jumpers or something like that. And I bet if it is your favourite, the photo brings back happy memories. But if you think a little deeper, is there also a memory surfacing of the big fight you were having just before the shutter clicked or the airline that lost your luggage? Why do perfect holiday photos feel like we had a perfect holiday when we all know a perfect holiday doesn't actually exist? Well, our resident consumer expert, Paul Harrison, is with me. He joins me fortnightly for Buyer Beware. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks, Tegan.
Do you have a picture-perfect holiday in mind as I'm speaking about this?
It's so funny because I was thinking, what is one of my favourite photographs from a holiday? And it's not picture-perfect, but when we visited relatives in Myrtle Beach in the United States, and my daughter had gone crazy on the cereal and she took little packets. And then when we got to the airport, they actually were saying, "Why have you got all this stuff?" And I have a photo of her sitting in the search area with a very sad look on her face. In the end, it was because I think she had water in her bag. But that photo brings back so many happy, fond memories. And it's not pretty and it's not blockbuster, but it feeds into the story that I tell myself about the holiday. And I think that's the reason that I take photos, because I want to all of the detail, the ordinary stuff as well as the blockbuster stuff.
That's so interesting, because am I right in thinking there is research into this, so basically saying that if we have pretty photos, we remember enjoying our holiday maybe more than we did? I don't know how they test that. Are they asking people on holidays how sad they are?
What they're doing is, well, there's a couple of different kind of studies that have looked at it. One of them is that they give people an opportunity to just go around and take photos of anything they like. And so in a way, it's kind of like you're asking people to kind of just, you know, take photos whenever you feel take a photo. But a different study, they actually said, people say, I want you to take a photograph of something when you're at a high level of experience or something like that. And others were, I want you to take photographs for your social media feed. One of the things that they found in one of these studies is that when people took the photo, just for personal reasons, they remembered more of the experience and they enjoyed more from those photos. And they actually had a sense of well-being that came out of that. But when they were photographing it for someone else, in inverted commas, so for an unknown audience on your kind of social media feed, people actually experienced it, had a less than pleasant experience. They remembered less of the experience because what they were doing was they were monitoring. It's called self-presentation monitoring. They were actually anticipating the audience, and therefore they were kind of experiencing the moment, but also half considering how it would look online, and that takes away the experience.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Paul Harrison, our resident consumer expert who joins me fortnightly. We call our segment Buyer Beware. So Paul, what I was hearing you say before was really like there's the photo taking effect, which is one thing that can be nice, and then there's the social media effect, which can make things, you feel more observed.
Yeah, and you're taking it for an unknown audience. And so what we're doing is that we're not living in the moment. And I know that there's a lot of romanticism about this idea of don't take photos, live in the moment. And I think that the key here is to go, why am I taking the photograph? And so if the photograph is for some form of external validation, this idea of saying I'm creating this for an audience, it reduces your enjoyment and it actually weakens the recall. And so it's more about taking the photo for yourself, stopping and processing it and saying, what does this look like? And one of the things I find really interesting is that now that we have cameras on our phones, we just have an unlimited amount of capacity to take photographs. And so we're never really engaging with the photograph. If you think about in the past, I'm not saying that it was better in the past, but if we had 36 photographs on a film, we'd have to actually think, do I want to take this photo? And what you'd also get is you'd get people and things that weren't necessarily perfectly posed. And that then creates a much deeper, thoughtful memory. It creates a story, and the story that you were just talking about, the Milford Track, but also Kate Reid's story as well about these photographs. It creates memories. And I think that's the thing that's missing when we have our camera with us all of the time, or on our phone all of the time. We're just snapping away at every old thing.
So do you think we should be leaving our phones in the hotel room, or taking photos but not posting them to Instagram? Like, what do we do with this information?
Yes, what do you do with this information? I think one of the things to do is to take photographs with intention. And what I mean by that is to say, well, you know, why am I taking this photograph? I think reducing the amount of photographs that we take is a good idea. I think one of the things to do, and my daughter does this, is that when she travels, she takes photographs, but she doesn't post anything on her social media feed until she returns, because her time to kind of think, what do I want to show, rather than necessarily, I guess, curating every day and just sending it out. And that's fine, because people like to kind of, you know, travel vicariously with you. I think one of the things is, it is very much about moderation and intention. So you ask yourself, who am I taking this for? Why am I taking it? Don't try to make it perfect, because often the best photographs are the ones that are imperfect. People, you know, blinking or a bright flash or something like that, because what it does is it gives you a memory, and it reminds us that, as you were saying, ordinary things in the holiday are just as much a part of the holiday. So waiting lines, exhaustion, somebody travelling with you who's looking back at you really annoyed because you're always taking photographs. It's about being intentional about why you photograph and what you're photographing.
Has looking into this research changed the way you interact with your camera on holidays?
Kind of. It's a hard thing to undo, I think. I do take a lot of photographs, but it forces me a little bit more to go, why am I taking this photograph? And it's practice. I think, I mean, I do this research for a living, but I'm still a consumer and I'm still part of the world. So sometimes I just have to remind myself, but I'm always cautious about saying live in the moment, because one of the things I know, and, you know, this is something that I used to do with my wife, you know, when our kids were little, is that we would go 6 to 12 months later and we'd go and grab the photo albums and we'd go, do you want to take a walk down memory lane? And we just look at the photographs, kind of thing. And we'd look through and we'd remember those moments. And I think that's how we should photograph. We should photograph as a form of memory creation, as one of the many memory creations. So journaling, having conversations, debriefing, talking to people when you get back, photographs, all of that feed into, I guess, the joy of the experience of the holiday, as well as the ordinary stuff.
I'm feeling like this is like bringing back the slideshow that you used to do.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. No. just you and the person you travelled with, I think. Yeah, don't invite the neighbours over. That's scary.
Fair enough. Well, you were mentioning, yes, the idea of taking photos, maybe posting the less, yeah, glamorous parts of travelling. Sometimes when I see people doing that on social media, it feels performative in its own way.
Yeah, it can be. And I think, again, it's more about what suits you. And I mean, one of the things is that I like to kind of, you know, build an element around that, which is, you know, this is part of my personality as well. I like to see the ordinary. So it's more about reflecting what you are. But I think, again, just posting everything that's beautiful and filters and things like that is also just as performative. So it's trying to find that balance between those things. And I think if we go back to how I travel, I do the blockbuster photos just like everybody else. But I also then go, this is a really interesting kind of way to look at this beautiful place. And it may well be something that is not as pretty as normal. But again, I think it still kind of leads to people going, okay, or to you going, you know, what does this mean? I think it still comes back, though, to social media and the intention. So if you're just posting it for social media, then that's a different intention to posting it for yourself. And I think what the research tells us is that when we are photographing for ourselves, we have stronger kind of memory recall, we have better well-being, we enjoy that experience more. So I think, again, if there was, you know, one thing to take away, it's to photograph for yourself and then think about what you're going to do with the photograph later. It's hard to do, but I think that's the best way to approach it.
So, Paul, you're off to New Zealand in a week. Will you be taking a camera?
Of course I will. Of course I will, because I want those memories. And I've already kind of thought, what kind of photos do I want to take? And, yeah, exactly. I think It is, I'll take my phone, but I'll also take a little kind of camera that, you know, is a pull it out and everything and take photos. But I think the thing I'm thinking is, yes, I do want to take photographs, but partly because last night, even before I was even thinking about preparing for today, I actually, every night I look at photographs. And I think that's one way to kind of remind me of, I guess, the privilege that I have to be able to travel, but also the beautiful people that I travel with, the people that I meet, the things, the places that I go to. It's about actually not just taking the photographs for the sake of it, but actually saying this is part of memory reconstruction and kind of building a life.
Dr. Paul Harrison, thank you as always for chatting with me. Paul is head of consumer behaviour at Deakin. He joins me fortnightly to unpack why we spend and behave the way we do. We call our chats buyer beware. And I'm loving your texts on your favourite holiday snaps. Sue says, I let my autistic grandson use my phone to take photos at the zoo. It kept him calm and enjoying the experience. His photos bring joy to me from that time. Definitely a different perspective. And Amanda says, my favourite holiday snap is a black and white picture of my three kids aged 12, 10 and 8 in a beautiful park in Mudgee. Moments before they were arguing furiously, yet somehow they were all smiling in this image. Now it's very hard to get a picture of them at ages 18, 17 and 14 as they refuse to be in any image that I take.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.